Lord, we long for your touch. Lord, the touch of your Spirit in our hearts to bring peace where there's turmoil, to bring joy where there's sorrow, just to bring excitement, Lord, in your ways. Lord, an excitement of what you have in store, not just in the next few minutes, but the rest of our lives, Lord. We look forward with excitement to see what you have for us. Hallelujah. Lord, be with us tonight. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive from you. Open our hearts, Lord, to bring the sacrifice of praise to you. And just, Lord, the joy of being in your presence. You are so good. You are so kind, Lord. Hallelujah. We just come now to you. Amen. Let's turn to page 435. I guess none of the young ones want to come up and sing because they figured there wouldn't hardly be anybody left out there singing, but that's okay. You all can come up here and join if you want. That'd be fun sometimes just to gather around. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I hear somebody talking. What's down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Let's do verse 4. We can do the whole song again. And sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. That's a good one. That's a good song. Hallelujah. Does anybody have any testimonies? There should be all kinds of testimonies.
Interesting. Okay.
But they're not talking to the flower god. But I thought it was interesting.
Sure.
They said clapping is healing.
Okay. Whatever.
Whatever.
Hallelujah. So do you get up now in the morning and walk around the house clapping or what?
I'm going to do more of it.
That's, yeah, you know, I can't see good anymore. I mean, there was a time I could lay the book here and I could sing and I didn't have to hold it, but now I have to get it up here where I can make sure I'm looking at it, and that only leaves, I suppose I could do this, I don't know. Hallelujah. But I have a testimony. I don't know how many years ago it was that I was going through some real hard stuff. And I finally heard the Lord calling my name, and I turned my heart over to Him, and I became a Christian. And that is probably the greatest thing, well, without a doubt, the greatest thing that ever transpired in my life. And it changed me completely. And I found out afterwards that that's called being made a new creation. Hallelujah. Jesus came into my heart, and He saved me. He turned my life around. I think most everyone here has experienced that. Hallelujah. But what a testimony that saved a wretch like me, and He's a wonderful God. And I'm so glad that He called my name, and He took me out of the miry clay, hallelujah, and He set my feet, and I found out again later on that my feet were placed on a solid rock called Jesus Christ, and He's called the firm foundation, He's called the chief cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected. He put my feet on Him, hallelujah. He's an anchor in a time of storm. He's a wonderful Savior, is Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a testimony. What should we do, Sugar? My life is in you. We don't have the overhead here. My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. In You, it's in You. My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. In You, it's in You. I praise You with all of my life. All of my strength, all of my hope is in You. My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. In You, it's in You. My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. In You, it's in You. Praise You with all of my life. I will praise You with all of my strength. With all of my life. With all of my strength. All of my hope is in You. My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord, in You, it's in You. My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord, in You, it's in You.
I'll praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you, in you, it's in you, it's in you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a proclamation. I'm a new creation. Okay, we don't need an overhead, do we? We don't need an overhead for that, do we? We can blow, swing that. I think you guys do it a little different than I learned it and Gail learned it. I don't know. I'm a new creation.
I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
One more time.
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Hallelujah. They don't even have cowboy boots on, do they? Hallelujah. Anybody else have a request or a testimony? Mary?
Right.
when does this vacation Bible school start?
Monday.
It's tomorrow.
Kenny learned at the Children's Crusade, there's without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Kenny learned that when he was in about third grade, and we were doing a Bible book at home, Kenny and I, and there was a story about Cain and Abel, and the author didn't know why God accepted one and didn't accept the brothers. Well, one was a shedding of blood, and one was vegetables. And Kenny knew because he learned that from that man when we had vacation Bible school here. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so that couple's going to do that there.
Well, let's pray that Bible study, that children's Bible study, touches hearts and draws many little ones to Him. Let's do that right now. Father, we just come to You now with this lady in Knapp that's doing this vacation Bible school in her home. Lord, we just ask You to move in that. Father, these people that are going to be presenting Your word, let it be Your complete word, Lord. Let it be the complete truth that is presented to these young ones, that they would hear the truth and be set free. Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask You to move by Your Spirit in that vacation Bible school, that it would be a glory to You, that many lives would be touched through that, Lord, even down to many generations, not just these young people, but many generations from now, the ripples would still go out. Lord, we ask these precious things in Your precious name. Amen. Anybody else have any requests, or Jim?
Thank God for taking care of me and Miss Allen in California. Nothing really big happened except for the fact that I almost missed my plane.
That must be a syndrome in this church or something.
But I was supposed to have an hour and a half to go from my hotel until the plane left, and I had a half hour.
Oh.
But I got on the plane anyway.
Well, good. Yeah, when Kyle was down in Arizona a while back, they're driving up to the airport, and he's asked, what time are you supposed to be there? And he's looking at, oh, the plane's leaving right now. He still made it home, but interesting how airplane things are a little difficult around here. Does anybody have any requests or any other testimonies? Debbie, are you pointing at somebody? Or are you raising your hand?
I thank the Lord for His amazing grace and also just the day-to-day care of us. And just, you know, small things. I mean, we went out to eat last Sunday, and we had a little coupon for free pizza. And it was sitting on my lap, and we got out, and I jumped out of the van. And went in, and we sat down because we called it in, and where's the coupon? And it was a windy day, and I thought, oh, sure, it's either in the van or it's gone. And I went out, and it was laying right there on the ground. I mean, it was windy. My hair was going all over the place, and it was laying right there. And I was, well, you know, it's a small thing, but the Lord knew.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Isn't it beautiful? You know, sometimes I almost think that those little things like that make a bigger impression than big things. And I don't know, you know, but just praying for your kids for a lost ball or a lost toy or some dumb little ditty, and bang, there it is, you know. Just thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for just being so true. Hallelujah. Mark.
I guess I probably should say something about my week. I was gone. Went to that thing for school. I'm back. I'm exactly the same person as I left. Contrary to what my dad keeps telling everybody, I'm not a tree hugger. my heart now. I'm just kidding. No. It was really fun, I guess. I mean, 1,200 kids, the exact same age as me. I didn't know there were that many kids my age in the world. But there was lots of people there. And I only knew one person, and I had a chance to introduce myself to a lot of people. I wore our Pyromaniac shirt one day. Had this girl from Canada come up to me. She just thought it was the coolest shirt in the whole entire world. She's like, I love that shirt. Where'd you get it? I'm like, actually, we made our own shirts. And she's like, I want one so bad. I'm like, well, sorry. I don't know where to tell you to get them. And
you could have given her yours.
I could have, but what would Craig said? She just thought it was the coolest thing. And I mean, lots of different people. I do that campus missionary. And the first day I met this girl, and we were just talking, and we were talking, and I'm like, yeah, I go to church and stuff. And she said, yeah, I'm a campus missionary. And she said it was through not Youth Alive, but Teens for Christ or something like that. I said, oh, really? I'm through this program called Youth Alive. And she said, no, that's what I'm from. That's what I'm through. So she's like, oh, she was wrong. And she had a car that said Youth Alive, and then she was a missionary just like I do. And from this girl from Minnesota, who's a Youth Alive campus missionary, and I couldn't believe it one bit. I was like, wow, here where I all these people and this one person I met and then found out that she was a campus missionary, I was really surprised. But I had a roommate who wasn't a Christian, and I got to witness to him. But he just talked to him and stuff. He never changed his preferences or anything, but planted some seeds. And lots of people. Met lots of people. I had people come up to me and ask if I was a Christian because I wore my Christian shirts the whole time. Lots of people knew that I stood out. And I'm really thankful for the fact that my lifestyle is that different, that I can stand out and that people notice.
1,200 kids?
1,200.
Your age?
My age.
My graduating class was just half that size.
My graduating class is 80.
They talk about senior classes around. I got 93 kids in my senior class. Oh, okay. That's a pretty small class. What was the point of it?
How many? Christie's was
five? Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. No, my senior class is over 600 kids.
There's more. That's more than what goes to my school.
Yes, I know. Well, see, St. Paul has it right now. They have about 45,000 students. 45,000 students in a school district. That's a lot of kids. What do we do? Anybody else have any? Jesus, you are Lord?
I have another thing to say, though. I'm also very thankful that my parents have raised me to be the person I am. Because to go to this thing and to see all the different views and all the different things that have been there and the way the different people think, it's incredible. I mean, you don't really know how bad the world is until you're completely surrounded by it and there's nobody else there to hold your hand. And I'm so thankful that my parents have raised me to be a good, strong Christian boy, that I am strong enough to go to this thing and to not be influenced by these people who tried to influence me. I mean, they told me that the one world government is good and that to save the trees and save the animals and trees are our cousins, and I know that that's not true. And I'm thankful that I have been raised good enough to know that that's not true. And I'm strong enough to debate that I know they're not true.
What about monkeys? Are they our cousins?
They are not our cousins.
He likes trees a lot now, hello. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are holy. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are holy. And I praise your name, and I praise your name, for you are Lord, you are Lord. precious Lord. Send your Holy Spirit, Jesus, precious Lord. Send your Holy Spirit, and I praise your name. Praise your name, for you are Lord, you are Lord, you are Lord, you are Lord, Jesus, precious Lord. Precious Lord,
second verse.
Send your Holy Spirit, and I praise your name, and I praise your name, for you are Lord. You are Lord, Jesus, you are holy, Jesus, you are Lord, Jesus, you are holy, and I praise your name, and I praise your name, for you are Lord.
Does Jesus care? 148. Does that mean he has a testimony or a request? Okay. 148. When we're singing this, really think about the words you're singing. You know, I mean, it's just what we've been talking about tonight. Does Jesus care? Certainly he cares. He cared so much that he went to the cross for each one of us. He left his throne in heaven, became a man, flesh and blood, knowing that he was going to suffer horrific pain and die. Does he care? Yes, my Jesus cares. Hallelujah.
Wait until we have speakers.
Hallelujah.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply to forth mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long,
as the day we are.
does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When my deep grief again, I know relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares, his heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? My sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it odd to him? Does he see? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. The days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Hallelujah. Could we stand while we sing this?
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son. Leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, our Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you.
done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I just am so glad that you said you would not leave us alone, that you would not leave us comfortless, but you would send the Comforter. Lord, I thank you so much that you enfolded me in your Comforter the night I was saved.
Thank you, my Father.
Lord, you just opened new realms of life to me. You opened my eyes to see. You opened my heart to believe the truth. I was lied to, Lord, and you became the truth for me. Lord, I was dying, and you gave your life for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, O my Father, for giving me your Son. Thank you, Lord. Leaving your Holy Spirit here. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Oh, glory to your name.
I failed to bring the offering plates. Don, could you see if they're in the back and take the offering? Gil, instead of an offertory, could we try to sing? We've only sang this song one time. I didn't mean to put you on the spot here, but I just thought of this song tonight. All your anxiety. All your anxiety. If somebody finds the page number, you can let us know. $152. We'll sing this for the offertory, so just hang on to it. Find the page number. I don't know this one real well, I'll be honest with you. I've sang it once, but we'll sing it together tonight. We'll try. I guess the offering plates weren't back there. Okay. Praise the Lord. And Don, would you pray over the offering, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to come to worship and praise you. And Lord, we just ask you to bless this offering to your work. Give it praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there prayer request this evening. Do you have an anxiety or care that we could take before the Lord? I have a testimony tonight as well. I know that not all of you are into this computer age. And I like the computer. We've had a computer for a number of years. And we have a family computer, and I have a computer that I use for my church work. It has my Bible programs and things like that on there. And And we've had internet access and email. And we have, about a year and a half ago or so, I designed a web page for the church. And some of the young people, Debbie's contacted us and left a message in our guest book. And you wonder if anybody really reads that stuff out there or what. But anyway, I worked on this web page and I put it on. We're on with DiscoverNet. And today, our church page, I also have a chalk drawing that Josh did. And we took pictures of in regular light and black light. He doesn't even know this yet, but it's a two-way drawing. And there's a broad road that leads to hell, and the black light is hell. It's flames of fire. And there's a narrow road that goes through the cross, and it winds up a mountain, and the black light on that side is heaven. And just today we had somebody contact us. These are the words a pastor loves to hear. It said that, "Pastor, could you tell me how to be saved?"
Hallelujah.
So somebody's responded to that. And, "Pastor, I want to get saved. Could you tell me more how to be saved?" And so I'm rejoicing in that, and that God can use things even like computers and email and the internet and those kinds of things. And Jim's been faithful in putting our messages on, our services on the internet. And you never know when somebody will come across something that will touch their heart and change their life. Turn in your Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. A lot of times we ask people, "Do you want to be saved?" But it's great when somebody says, "Pastor, could you tell me how to be saved?" Matthew chapter 26, verses 57 through 74. We are going to read that much tonight. Matthew 26, verses 57 through 74. "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And the last came, two false witnesses, and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?' They answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.' Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?'" Now, when Jesus is going through this, this is another scene that's taking place in an outside hallway. "Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, 'Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied before them all, saying, 'I know not what thou sayest.' And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, 'This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, 'Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee.' Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man.' And immediately the cock crew." Title of the message tonight, "When the Rooster Crows." When the rooster crows. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight and upon the truths that we find in it. And Lord, that we would also see some insight into human nature. And what is the tendency to do when the rooster crows? When we are confronted with our sin. Lord, help us and give us grace in those times that we would do the right thing. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody ever have the opportunity to listen to Byline with Dan Betzer? Anybody ever heard that? He's on some radio stations. I don't know if he's on any radio stations around here or not. I get an email from him. It's an email of his radio program. And this came from his radio program. And I'm just going to read it word for word from him tonight. He says, "Oh yes, it gets harder and harder for students these days. That's what they tell us. How hard they have it and all. Now in a Philadelphia school, they can't even cut classes with impunity. No matter how clever the rascals are, several of that city's high schools installed before school ended for the summer a computerized system that requires students to swipe a barcoded card with their photo on it upon entering school each morning. If the kids skipped class the day before, the system emits a loud cock-a-doodle-doo as he inserts his card. I mean, you can hear it everywhere. Teachers love it and promise it will be installed in all Philly schools soon. Already, class cutting has been cut 75%. Teachers no longer have to write cut slips. Each day they are sent a computerized generated class list noting the time each student entered the building. The poor kid doesn't have a chance. He'll get nailed every time. Well, at least for now. I am sure some of those young future rocket scientists will figure out a way to circumnavigate the computers. It must be pretty embarrassing to waltz into the school with your study on your arm, put your barcoded card in the box, and hear this chicken screaming at you. I think it's hilarious. And I'm grateful we didn't have it when I was in school." And he goes on to say, "Well, buddy, if you can't fool a high school principal or dean, how in the world do you think you can fool God or get anything by him?" People do, but they're just kidding themselves if they think they can get things by God without God seeing. And that's what you have to look forward to in your school systems pretty soon. St. Paul will probably be one of the leaders there. George, if you miss work, you don't check in. All right. But you know, there's a couple stories in the Bible of people who tried to pull fast ones. One was from the Old Testament, a guy by the name of Gehazi. One day he tried to pull a fast one. You find his story in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings, to be exact. He thought he was sharp. He thought he was going to pull one over. First of all, on his master Elisha, he thought he was going to pull the wool over his eyes, and then I guess he thought that God wouldn't see him either. And he tried to pull it over, but he didn't succeed. And he looks in the mirror one day and he discovers that he has become a leper. The story from 2 Kings 5, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought.'" Remember the story of Naaman? He was a leper. Elisha told him to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan. And as he dipped those 7 times, he came up the 7th time, he was healed of his leprosy. Naaman wanted to pay him back. He wanted to give him something in return for the healing. And Elisha said, "No, I won't take anything." Well, Gehazi, Elisha's servant, thought, "That's not really right. We should get something out of this." And so he said, "I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, 'Behold, even now there become to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments.' And Naaman said, 'Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, 'Whence comest thou, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Thy servant went nowhither.' And he said unto him, 'Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Did you ever notice how dumb people play when they get caught at something? You ever notice that? How people like to play dumb. Here Elisha asked Gehazi where he went. Go somewhere? I didn't go anywhere. Where do you think I went? He's playing dumb here. And I don't know what you're talking about, Elisha. I didn't go anywhere. Ming Choi runs a convenience store in Lexington, Kentucky, known for its basketball teams and racehorses. And now it's known for Ming Choi, my hero of the day. Because a robber walked into his store a few months back and demanded a few hundred bucks. Ming acted as if he didn't understand the order. He said, "What? I don't understand what you want." The thief replied, $100. Give me $100. And Ming answered, "What you want $100 for? I have nothing here that costs $100. By now the crook is getting steamed. $100. Hand over $100. Ming replies, "What you mean, hand over?" The crook is starting to froth at the mouth. Despite fearing the robber who said he had a gun in his coat, Ming kept up the act until police finally got there. They arrested a guy by the name of Eric. They told him he was under arrest. Eric thought he'd try the game. "What you mean, under arrest?" Cops just told him to knock it off. I guess the act didn't work unless you were Korean. But I just love that story. People are funnier than anything. You know, I tell my children, "Now what part of no don't you understand?" Because they like to play dumb sometimes. "Dad, I don't understand. I don't have the foggiest idea what you're talking about." No. What part of no don't you understand? You know, we play it dumb when it suits our purposes. We say to a traffic cop, "That was a 35-mile-an-hour area? I didn't know that." We've been down that street 100 times. You know, there will be folks who try to pull that con on God someday. "What? You mean I needed to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior? You mean Jesus is the only way to heaven?" And they'll try to play dumb, but it won't work. And God will motion to the angels, and the angels will open the books. And you know, it'll be amazing how smart people get at that awful day. People try to play dumb. Don't try to play dumb when God catches you at something. Don't try to pretend like you didn't know it was in the Bible or you didn't know that it was wrong. You know, there's a little thing that each of us have, and it's called our conscience. And that conscience, that little voice inside of us, it lets us know when we're doing things that are wrong, doesn't it? Some of you have a stronger conscience than others. And you know what? You should thank God for that. Thank God that you have a strong conscience. Thank God that He doesn't let you get away with anything. And when that conscience bothers you, the best thing that you can do is quickly confess that what you are about to do or what you did is wrong. Agree with God quickly that it's wrong. Don't try to rationalize the act away. Don't try to act dumb or play stupid with God. Peter is another example here that we want to look at tonight. Jesus is being questioned in the palace. Peter stays outside by an open hallway to warm himself. If you notice, he is warming himself with the enemy. A shy woman's voice said, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But Peter denied it. He plays dumb. He said, "I don't know what you're saying. I know not what thou sayest." "I am not. I don't know what you're talking about," Peter says. In a sense, he isn't a true disciple, and he might have had his mind on other things, and maybe he really didn't hear what she was saying, but I believe he was trying to rationalize his actions away at this point. Later, another maid saw Peter and said, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter responds with an oath, "I do not know the man." You know, he figures that will shut everybody up. That's why people swear. When they swear, they are trying to convince you. They are trying to use some quote, authority. And that's what they think when they swear. But it doesn't quiet anyone. And the questions keep coming at Peter. Finally, some people get their heads together and they figure it out. After all, 2 and 2 is 4. This man has a Galilean accent for one. John's gospel added that someone also said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Yeah, he's the guy that cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. And they put 2 and 2 together and they said, "That was you. You were there. You are one of his disciples." Then Peter begins to not only swear, but to curse as well. Faintly in the distance, he hears a rooster crow. And you know what? You know what the amazing thing is at all this? The rooster begins to crow. And at that exact moment, where did the eyes of Jesus land? Of all the places for Jesus to look in there, where does Jesus look when the rooster crows? He looks straight in the eyes of Peter. Peter looks right into the eyes of Jesus. And he holds it for as long as he can. But you know, when you've done something wrong, you just can't look people in the eye. Luke said, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.'" That look brings home the truth with horrible reality. And in verse 75 of Matthew 26, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter lost the battle. He lost the battle that was going on there out in the courtyard. Jesus is inside. He's doing battle, tremendous, intense battle inside. And Peter is outside, and he loses the battle standing with the servants. You know, I thought of a cute little thing here, but it's not so cute. It's true. If you can't get your feet warm anywhere but at the devil's fire, go ahead and get cold feet. If you have to be by the devil's fire to get your feet warm, to stay warm, go ahead and have cold feet. It's better to be cold and by yourself and out there all alone somewhere than it is to be associating with the wrong people. And if that's where you get your fellowship and that's where you get your excitement in life, you're better off with no fellowship and you're better off with cold feet. Peter stands there. He denies his Lord not once, not twice, but 3 times. Cock-a-doodle-doo, the rooster crows. And in our lives, when we do what is wrong to do, when we disobey that small voice, our conscience, or we don't obey the law that's written on our heart, the rooster says, cock-a-doodle-doo. God knows everything that you do, and he doesn't need a coded card. Don't ever play dumb with God. The best thing that you and I can do, again, is to confess, is to agree with God and ask for mercy and forgiveness. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth who convicts of error, the Spirit of fire who convicts of coldness, the Spirit of love who convicts of hatred, the Spirit of freedom who convicts us of bondage, the Spirit of God who convicts of human depravity, the Holy Spirit who bears open our human sin. David said, "Have mercy upon me." Paul said, "God is rich in mercy." Wesley said, "'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me." Confess your sin, forsake your sin, ask forgiveness and cleansing from your sin through Christ's blood, and you can sing, "My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." You know, the sad thing today is that some people are trying to do away with repentance. I don't know if you realize this, but this is becoming a major, major issue. I get some correspondence from different ministries, and they don't agree anymore. They're battling it out whether repentance is necessary for salvation or not. It's becoming a huge argument. And they use arguments like John's gospel never mentions the word repentance. It doesn't mention the word repent once, and after all, John's gospel was the last gospel written. Well, for one thing, an argument from silence is no argument at all. But the gospel of John was not the last writing of John. Who can tell me what the last writing of John was? The book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation uses the word repent 7 times. And it specifically says over and over to the churches, repent. Repent. I will not stop preaching repentance. And we dare not stop practicing repentance. I guess the problem is that man has lost his reason and his sense of need for forgiveness. We hear a lot of talk about celebration in our churches today. We have celebration services. But you know, there can be no celebration until there is first confession. In the parable of the prodigal son, the banquet does not occur. The celebration does not take place until at first the boy had come to himself. In an act of repentance, he returned to his father's house. A Sunday school class in a church once made an unusual request one day. They requested that the prayer of confession be taken out of the order of worship. They gave the following four reasons. Number one, confessions imply that we are bad people. Number two, our children will get a negative image of themselves. Our children will get a negative image of themselves. Number three, guilt is damaging and we need to think positively. And number four, worship should always be uplifting and make us feel good. And so they said, for those four reasons, could we remove confession from our order of worship and from our services? You know, we need confession. We desperately need confession. The refusal to acknowledge that we are a sinful people is damaging the Church of Jesus Christ today. And the damage is coming from within, not from without. We have bought into the modern culture that we should have a positive self-image through positive thinking. Church, sin is real. It is real, and it is way too destructive to ignore. It is destructive to your own life. It is destructive to your family. It is destructive to your church. It is destructive to our nation. It is destroying our world. We need confession. We need to exercise repentance. The cross reminds us of just how serious our sin is. It was serious enough that a man who was sinless and holy and blameless had to die on that cross at the hands of crucifixion and die a horrible death with our sins laid upon him. The failure to express our sin before God and one another devalues God's redemptive grace. It's not positive thinking that will remove our guilt. It's God's redemptive action. In fact, I have found that repentance is refreshing. I feel so much better when I repent. Instead of carrying on and holding those sins and those iniquities and those wrongful things that I have done, when I hold them inside of me, you know, the guilt, the psalmist talked about the guilt drying up his bones. Guilt does terrible things to a body. But it feels so good to get on the knees and to repent and ask the Lord to forgive me and to cleanse me and to give me his mercy. Repentance is refreshing. I'll leave you with a verse in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You see what it's saying? It says that when you repent, your sins are blotted out. They're washed away. Those sins are completely taken care of. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. They are done away with. And then it says times of refreshing will come in the presence of the Lord. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? I'm not implying that you are bad people. All I am saying is that all of us from time to time do things that are wrong. Doing things, and we'll use the S word, they're sinful. They are sinful. All of us do that from time to time. We sin in our thoughts. We sin in our attitudes. We sin in our actions. All of those things need to be repented of. We've heard that saying, confession is good for the soul. It most certainly is true. Confession is good for the soul. And if you are here today and there is some sin in your life, or there's something that you have not taken care of, you've not asked God's forgiveness for, you've not sought his mercy, and his forgiveness. You know what? The rooster is crowing. The rooster is crowing. And God knows all about it. And confession is simply agreeing with God that what I did was wrong. What I did was sin. It's agreeing with God. God already knows. Simply agreeing with Him that what I did was wrong. And then you can ask His forgiveness. And He will restore that fellowship that you have lost, whether you know it or not. He'll restore that fellowship that you have lost through that sin. And every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Because I want you just to be quiet before the Lord this evening. And let the Holy Spirit search your heart. And He'll bring things to your mind tonight, things that are unconfessed. And as He brings those to your mind tonight, would you just say, "Yes, Lord, I agree that was sin. I confess that was sin." And then go on the next step and say, "Lord, would you forgive me for that sinful act? Would you forgive me?" Give me your mercy. Our sin mainly is against God. I feel like I need to share this tonight. Once you have confessed the sin to God, maybe there's somebody that you've hurt. Could you go to them and ask their forgiveness as well? Somebody that you've offended, that you've wronged. Practice confession. Let's sing this chorus. White as snow, though my sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know. Play dumb with God. You know the other thing that we do, and I catch myself doing this too, is I try to rationalize that away. It wasn't such a big deal. You know what? God, everybody does it. We try to rationalize it away. Please don't do that tonight. Please don't do that. When the rooster crows, confess your sin. You know, the Bible says if you confess your sin and forsake it, you will find mercy. That's what we want to search for tonight. We want to find mercy. Could we all stand as we sing this again? If you have a need to come to the altar this evening, the altars are open. If you have a need to come, maybe it's for this or it's for any other reason, these altars are open. You can practice repentance, or you can come and you can intercede on behalf of somebody else or whatever. If you'd like to come and spend time in prayer tonight, these altars are open. Come as we sing.
White as snow, though my sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know. Through faith in you, I know that I
We sing that song, Created Me a Clean Heart, O God.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
You know that we tend to sin more in our attitudes than we do in our actions. That's the truth. People react more to our attitudes than they do our actions. Check your attitudes tonight. Let the Holy Spirit search your attitude. Create in me, O God, a new attitude, a new heart, a new spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It's like the two sides of a coin. The one side of the coin of sin is falling short of the glory of God. It's doing things, missing the mark, things that we know are wrong, things that we know are sin. But you know the other side of the coin of sin is failing to do what is good. James says, therefore, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And let's check ourselves tonight on that. You know that the Old Testament verse, I believe it was Samuel, said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by forgetting to pray for you. Have you ever said you'd pray for somebody? You haven't done that? You know, this is maybe where we're going to get all of us here tonight. It's not that we've done things wrong, it's that maybe we haven't done what we should do. And I'd like us to take our songbooks and turn to page number 196. Is your all on the altar? And tonight, if there is something that you need to lay on the altar, please do it. You know that if you hold it back from God, it becomes a sin, it becomes an idol then. But instead, give it to God. And if you have promised to pray for somebody, if you know that somebody needs prayer, the Holy Spirit's laid upon your heart, somebody that you need to pray for, please be obedient to the Lord tonight. Come and pray for them. Come to these altars and pray for them tonight. Hold them up in prayer. So this altar calls for one of those two things. You have something that you need to place on the altar because you realize that if you keep it for yourself, it becomes an idol. Or if there's somebody that you need to pray for tonight and you don't want to sin against the Lord by not praying for them, I just feel led to open these altars up for this reason, for these reasons tonight. So would you come? Let's sing. Page 196, is your all on the altar? Come as we sing. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Stay and pray, you can do that as well. It's your desire tonight. If you leave, God bless you, and we'll see you Wednesday or next Sunday. If you want to spend some time in prayer, I'm sure Gail will play a while, and you can just rest in the peace and presence of the Lord.
to fall.